Walking Dead Season 5 Episode 11. The distance is over, but we're not done talking about it. We're just getting started. It's the Walking Dead feedback show. And now, here are the two guys who are so close that we would jump out of vehicles if we saw the other guy's flare gun go off. I'm Rob Sestrini. Here's Josh Wiggler.
It's always a bad situation when your flare gun's going off, Rob. I mean, I've seen your flare gun go off before, and it's awkward.
You never want the flare gun to go off too early, either.
No, you'd like to really kind of just like build up to the right moment where it just seems like you're going to shoot your flare gun and I'm going to shoot mine, and it's just like the sky.
You want to have it at the same time.
Yeah, right. Ideally.
Ideally. Hard to coordinate that.
It's tough.
Yeah. All right, Josh, well, I'm very excited to talk Walking Dead with you because I did not get to talk with you. You were busy covering the Oscars.
That's right. Yes, I was the man behind the curtain at MTV.com maintaining the winners list for the Oscars all night long with a couple breakout stories along the way. Very proud of the MTV.com crew for Oscars night. But I was missing all you guys with Walking Dead. You did a fabulous job with AJ Mass, though. I will say, I don't know that I've ever listened to a post-show recaps podcast that had so many Lost references that I was not on.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was a very Losty episode.
I guess so. There was some Benjamin Linus.
It was the Lost episode. Yeah,
it was the Lost episode of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, of course. Now, this is the Walking Dead feedback show where Josh and I are going to go through all of the things on a normal week that we want to dig into deeper. But this is a first that we get to hear Josh's first take on the podcast about this week's episode of The Walking Dead. And then we'll, of course, dig into the emails. But Josh, do you have any quick headlines about your take on the episode?
No. I mean, I'm really curious to hash it out with you. Of course. I mean, you've already given your take. I know Walking Dead a little bit more than you do because I've read the comics. But the comics don't always line up with the show. I'm always very quick to say that here on the podcast. It's not like Game of Thrones where it's for the most part a 1-to-1. Even though that looks like that could be changing coming soon. That's neither here nor there. The Walking Dead comics often are not what's reflected on the TV show. A lot of what's happened recently with what's going on with Aaron and the introduction of the arrival of Alexandria is lining up. So it's really cool to see how this is starting to play out. You know, without getting into too many specifics, I will say that we are entering a major phase of The Walking Dead that I think is going to be really exciting. Whether or not it plays out that Aaron is telling the truth and Alexandria is a great place, or if he's lying and Alexandria is not a great place for Rick and company, we're entering a major movement of this story. Assuming that they're sticking to the script, I feel like it's going to be hard not to on this one. So it should be pretty cool. What did you think of everything with Aaron in this episode?
Yeah, I enjoyed this episode. I said it on the podcast with AJ. I thought it was an interesting development. Again, I thought it was, my one criticism was it felt very similar to the stuff where Ben Linus's introduction into Lost, where they had kidnapped him or they had captured him. And basically, you know, they don't know if he's telling the truth or not. But that being said, I thought it was a fun introduction to what is shaping up to be an interesting character and an interesting new direction on the show.
Yeah, hard to find any alternate universe Wiggler that would be mad at an episode of any TV show that would call to mind the Henry Gale era of Lost. I think that stuff is always great when you can play with an audience's expectation of, is this guy who he says he is? Is this guy really the good, benevolent stranger that he presents himself as? Or are all of these excuses that he has, I won't eat the applesauce, whatever it is this because it's a facade, it's a ruse, he's trying to lure you into a trap? So I think it's really fun to watch a character like Aaron and kind of squirm as an audience trying to figure out, trying to get your way inside of this guy's head and just figure out what's up with him. What is he really up to? And I think that the show did a really fun job of playing with people's expectations in this episode. I think that the actor, oh gosh, we said his name last week. I think Ron Marquand or something. I can look that up and verify. But he's really good. We only got a second of him at the end of the second episode of the second half of season 5. And, you know, you and I haven't gotten to talk about him much more beyond his impressions, which are very fantastic. But I thought on the show, he was really good, very vulnerable in moments, very tough in others. I really like the idea of his relationship with Eric. I think it's cool that Walking Dead is opening up the romantic playing field a little bit. And we have a prominent gay couple on the show right now. So that's really exciting. Which I guess it's caused a lot of controversy for some people.
I
don't want to know those people, to be frank.
Yeah. Or to be Aaron. But Yeah. I do feel like that's just like, you know, there's a couple of idiots that are on, you know, social media. And, you know, anytime, like, I feel like that's a thing to do where it's like people who go online. Like, I don't think there was any real like controversy about it. I did see some articles where people like polled, like, you know, some lunatics on Twitter who are, you know, posting homophobic comments.
Yeah, I think it's a vocal minority, but it's an ugly minority, and it makes me pretty mad. I mean, I don't have like a well put together, well articulated response to those people other than to say, get the F over it. It's 2015. These seem to be really good characters. Get over yourselves. Welcome to the modern age. But I think it's really cool to have that on the show. There'd been lots of speculation for a long time. Is Daryl Dixon gay? And Robert Kirkman came out and said, no, he's not. But we have a gay character.
Wait, Robert Kirkman came out?
Robert Kirkman did not come out. He's, I believe, happily married with kids.
Okay.
But he came out to say that, no, Daryl Dixon is not gay, but we have a prominent gay character from the comics coming up. Turns out, here we are. It's Aaron. Really exciting stuff. I'm glad that is being represented on the show. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, there shouldn't be any controversy because he's gay in the comics, right? It's not like he was a straight character and they turned him gay or vice versa.
No. And even then, who cares? Like, as long as it's not like fundamentally altering a character, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, I have seen some ugly things out there that make me very pissed off. So if you're one of those people who gets really angry that there's a gay relationship on The Walking Dead, Rob, I hope this doesn't upset you for me to say, I hope you people stop listening to the podcast right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tough talk. I don't think the people that are posting the homophobic things on Twitter about the arrival of Aaron and the relationship with Eric, I don't think that those are Walking Dead feedback show listeners.
They better not be. Better not be. All right. That's all I got to say. But yeah, I thought it was a great episode. The applesauce thing cracked me up. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be mad at an episode of The Walking Dead where Rick Grimes shoots a flare gun into a walker's face.
That was really intense.
That was awesome.
That was the highlight of the episode, that whole sequence when they were driving the car.
Yeah, you know what? By the way, don't take North 92 or whatever if the guy is saying don't take North 92. Lesson learned, I hope. North 92, no good. Stick with Route 15. They cleared that.
Yeah, Rick, stay off of Waze and trying to come up with your own ways to beat the traffic over there.
Does Waze exist in The Walking Dead? Maybe pre-apocalypse.
Yeah, there needs to be some sort of new app that tells you where all of these like zombie-blocked roads are and sort of like rerouting and tells you to go around that.
That would be really useful, like if the apocalypse, like if humanity can get back up on its feet and like get some sort of like technological infrastructure back in place and they can start having like some mild version of internet communication at some point. I feel like zombie ways, walker ways is like a priority. That should be one of the very first things that they set up and establish.
Yeah, it lets you know where all the walkers are. That would be really ideal. All right, let's jump into the questions. Is it true that we have three questions this week? They're all from Rick Grimes?
They're all from Rick Grimes. He forgot to ask them on the live show, I guess. So he asked had to ask them here.
Oh, he had to have Michonne ask them.
Yeah, he had to have Michonne ask them. No. Those questions have been asked.
Okay.
How many people have you killed, Rob?
Why?
That's my follow-up question. Can't ask my follow-up question as an answer. All right, we can talk about that another time. Let's start off with a headline, actually. This isn't something that's user-submitted. This is something that broke today.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. This is just something for you and I to put on our radar, Rob. You ready for this?
Ready.
We are going to have a long night ahead of us. And I don't mean that in any kind of frisky way. You can take it however you'd like. March 29th. Put that in the calendar right now, Rob. You ready?
What's March 29th?
Sunday, March 29th.
Okay.
Season finale of The Walking Dead. 90 minutes.
Okay.
90 minutes. Supersized episode.
That's it.
Supersized episode.
Okay. And then I thought that's the only thing we have to cover that night. All right, that's hardly a long night. Listen, that's nary a long night for us.
You probably have something else to cover. I'm going straight to bed as soon as we are done.
Yes, okay.
But I mean, you've got like 5,000 shows.
I thought you were going to tell me, and then it's like a 2-hour premiere of Game of Thrones that night. Also,
I don't think Game of Thrones is premiering until 2 weeks after.
What are we going to do the week in between?
It's Easter.
Okay.
I mean, I'm Jewish, so that doesn't apply to me. But I mean, for you, I'm sure that you must have plans, right?
No,
not yet.
We'll see.
Maybe we'll plant some Walking Dead Easter eggs around post show recaps. How about that for Sunday?
Very good. Sounds good.
Maybe we can do a Walking Dead Easter egg show on Sunday.
Yes,
some sort of finale.
That would be fine.
I'm not promising that right now.
All right, we'll
if
see.
If enough people want it, maybe we can do it. But yeah, that's just the headline. That's something that came out today. 90-minute episode. I don't know that we've done that since the pilot, since the very first episode. I think Walking Dead is pretty traditionally stuck to the one-hour format. So it's kind of exciting. It's kind of cool.
It's kind of exciting. Interesting to see why they would choose to do that. I hope it's not going to be that, like, nothing happens for like four episodes and then everything happens in the finale. I hope that's not what they're thinking.
I hope not too. That would not be great. The other fear would also be that it's like a 90-minute talkie episode. And like, I don't want that. Like, I mean, I want some talk action. That's fine. But I want some action. If you're going to give me a 90-minute episode, it better come equipped with some serious zombie mayhem.
Yeah.
So I would like to think that that's going to happen. I hope that the run-up to that episode is going to be equally packed with Walker action. We'll see.
I don't mind the talkie. I don't mind the talkie, and I don't mind the action. What I mind is like the slow walking through rooms. Like, I feel like there's a lot of like on The Walking Dead where like there's a lot of like just like killing time, like where they go into a room and they like walk really slow and like explore the room.
Right.
And like, there's probably like easily like 2 or 3 minutes each episode that you could cut out. That's just sort of like scanning around rooms.
Yeah. You can yada yada through it. It's not the best part.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get it. You guys have cleared rooms before.
Like, we could just start the scene after like, okay, room's clear.
Yeah. We've seen that before. So yeah, maybe ease down on the clearing of rooms. Like, let's try for Rob's sake.
I'm telling you, when you watch the shows now, you see like room clearing, slow walking through like empty rooms, like
Brian Heidick style.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, 90-minute finale could go either way. My stance on these kinds of episodes is, if you're going to supersize your episode, you got to have something to say.
Okay,
you
know, good.
You better have something to do. So hopefully that's the case. But yeah, season 5 finale is going to be 90 minutes. That's exciting. We will have a lot to do that night, a lot to talk about. Let's get into these questions. Let's start with our friend Cabin Douche, because I don't want to do a Walking Dead feedback show that doesn't have Cabin Douche.
One of the great commenters on Walking Dead Live on Post Show Recap.
Frankly, one of the greatest things that has come out of us doing these Walking Dead podcasts is the existence of Cabin Douche. I do believe that Cabin Douche sprung from our brains and onto the page. So very cool to have Cabin Douche contributing so regularly. Cabin Douche says, I guess if you're clean cut in The Walking Dead, then ... which I believe is his Bryce Isaiah-like version of asking, maybe Aaron's not so bad. If you're clean cut, if you're a dapper stranger, maybe you can trust the dapper stranger. What do you think, Rob?
Nope.
Do you still not trust Aaron?
Still don't trust him. Oh, well, how can we trust him?
I guess that's fair.
Yeah. In The Walking Dead, whatever the, you know, perception is, things are the opposite. So if somebody is really like a bad guy and dangerous, they got to like clean up their act and look like they're nice. If somebody is nice, then they're not so worried about their appearance.
Yeah. It's true. You would tend to think that like, I don't know, like the good person is probably out there saving people, is in a big rush, doesn't have time to shower, doesn't have time to brush their teeth, doesn't have time to wipe mud off their face. They're in the thick of it. They're out there saving people. Whereas the bad guy might be the kind of person who like stops and looks in the mirror. White collar, you know, like really likes to just like slick their hair back and look really good for the camera.
I will say one thing in Aaron's favor. I think that there is a chance he may not be a bad guy. He may be a good guy, only because I think it would be major balls on the part of Kirkman and the entire Walking Dead team to have invent one gay character and have him be like a major jerk. So I think that would be a point where I feel like, okay, well, maybe the revelation that he's gay maybe means he's not going to be that bad of a guy, because that would be very troublesome if they invented one gay character and made him into a big villain.
Well, what if he's a great villain? Why couldn't he be gay? Maybe a fantastic gay villain.
He could be a
like
fantastic...
the greatest villain of The Walking Dead is gay. That would be awesome.
He could be a fantastic gay villain, but the only gay person...
Like, what if he's like the gay governor? That's awesome.
That's fine. I have no problem with that. But the only gay person in The Walking Dead universe shouldn't also be the biggest villain in
The
Walking Dead.
How quickly you forget Tara.
Yeah, that's fine. But the only gay man in the Walking Dead universe shouldn't also be the biggest villain also in the universe. You know what I mean?
Would it be okay if his boyfriend, if Eric, was like a super nice guy, but Aaron is just like a bastard?
Yeah, well, he likes the bad boy.
Yeah, like he likes the unreformed bastard.
That's fine. I mean, I guess technically there are two gay people in the Walking universe, two gay men in the Walking the Walking Dead universe now.
Yeah, so what if Eric is just like a really good guy and he's just
that attacked? Helps it a little bit. It helps it a little bit.
Okay, so that's interesting. But as Cabin Douche says, what would The Walking Dead be without a douche here or there? And you know, I think that's fair. I think that you got to have a bad guy pop up every now and then. And if that's Aaron, maybe it's Aaron. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? All right, let's keep getting into Alexandria a bit. We've got a lot of questions about Alexandria. And that's the name of the safe zone that has popped up at the end of this episode. This is in from Albert Vargas. Albert writes in and says, I feel like the writers have painted themselves in a corner with Alexandria. They need to make this a safe haven, even if it's only temporary. After the nightmare of Woodbury, Terminus, and Grady, the characters need to catch a break, or else they will be so jaded that they'll be on the road forever. I'm sure this place won't be a paradise, but I prefer to see conflict arise from them trying to coexist rather than see an immediate bloodbath. What's your take on that, Rob? Do you agree with Albert? Does Alexandria have to be a place as advertised by Aaron, or else risk our characters just losing all hope forever?
Well, it doesn't have to be anything. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if it turns out to be a great thing, then the show's over. So, like, inevitably, just by the basis that this is a TV show about people in very dire situations, then, like, I mean, go back to Herschel's farm. How long were they at Herschel's farm? Oh, this is boring. This is boring. So they were on the farm too long.
So long.
I mean, and that was like what? How many episodes? 7, 8 episodes?
It was an entire season. It was 12 episodes.
12 episodes?
Like, maybe 13.
Okay, that being said, if they go someplace and it's fine, then people will say it's boring. And if they go someplace that, you know, I think it'll be sort of like, we'll spend a couple episodes there. I don't think it's going to be like, okay, we walk in like, oh my God, this place sucks. Let's get out of here. You know? So I think that they will inevitably continue to look for a safe haven. I think that's sort of like what the show's about.
Right. I get the point that Albert's saying though, where like every society that they've encountered has been flawed, has been like really bad. You know, whether it's run by, you know, a psychopath with one eyeball who just stares at severed heads and, you know, fish bowls like their TV sets.
Watch your mouth, Wiggler.
Yeah, or if it's, you know, a bunch of people who are chewing on human meat, you know, fresh meat. You know, it's been bad. Even the hospital, which seemed like it could have been okay, like that was probably the best of the three. And those guys were terrible too. They were just raping each other all up and down all day long. It was very bad. So for them to encounter a fourth society that is like that level of terror, you don't think that that's like too much?
I mean, I think that all of the good people are dead. So there's not like, they're never going to like walk into a place that's like the Garden of Eden. That's like, oh, all the good people are here. And we were, you know, we're so good, but we were able to keep the bad people out who wanted to come in and rape and pillage and do all the stuff. So everybody is probably bad at this point. Anybody that's left alive is probably bad. I think that will there be more than meets the eye at Alexandria? Undoubtedly. Will it be a hell on earth? I don't think so. But we'll see, you know, they're not going to stop looking for a place to go if Alexandria turns out to be a, you know, horror show.
Sure. DC is like, I don't know. Looks like a couple miles away. We got to see the Washington
Monument.
Stop.
Yeah.
Is that Amazing Race reference? You know, I'm watching the Amazing Race now. I know what a pit stop is now.
Yes. In this leg, the teams will head to Alexandria. In flare gun teams, whatever. I could go on and on.
Aaron and Eric, I hate to tell you, the last team to arrive, and you have been eliminated for the walk.
Oh my God!
What's his accent, by the way? Where's he from, Phil?
I believe he's from New Zealand.
It's a fantastic voice he's got.
Is that Kiwi?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was Hogan.
I don't know.
Cohegan.
They are another dating couple.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. They could be on this coming season.
They could be. All right.
Let's move on. Dave Backer wrote in. Dave Backer wrote, has Rick become so paranoid that his fears are becoming self-fulfilling prophecies? For example, Aaron and his group might be okay, But does Rick hiding the gun outside the community and his general wariness guarantee that things will wind up poorly? I think that's an interesting perspective on this whole thing. So let's take Alexandria at face value for a second, Rob. Let's assume the best. I know that's hard to do because we're talking about The Walking Dead. But let's assume that everything that Aaron is saying is true. This is a great place, really good people. You're going to love the kids. Everything's fantastic. Rick is really, you know, he's to the point where he is hiding a gun outside of the community. He has so much baggage, this guy. Could Rick be the danger? Could Rick be the guy who is just going to look for every crack in the system and be the guy that brings this house down? It certainly seems like he's that guy within the group right now. Everybody else was very eager to follow Aaron to this place. And Rick is the one guy who is saying, nope, no good. Is that because Rick is the only one thinking clearly? Or is it because he's the only one who is unhinged?
Yeah, undoubtedly also Rick will, you know, figure out a way to piss off the people there. I mean, that's what I was saying on the show on Sunday night. I mean, that if Aaron is not the boss, when Aaron is like, hey, I brought in this guy, Rick. And then when Rick like punches the boss of Alexandria in the face and is like, what do you have in mind with my people?
Right.
You know, like I said, what the hell are you bringing this guy for?
It feels like it wouldn't be Rick Grimes if he doesn't punch somebody in the face, like a total stranger in the face in the next episode.
Yeah.
Like that just seems like what Rick is going to do.
I think that seems like a fair bet. I mean, Rick is always going to be, you know, uncomfortable with any sort of new situations. He's always going to be super paranoid. And, you know, I feel like that, you know, the Michonnes of the world are going to be like, no, no, I'm telling you, this place is awesome. And then like somebody's going to see like, you know, I think it's probably going to be probably closer to Woodbury than any of these other things that we've seen before.
Is that good or bad for you? You like Woodbury.
I don't have a problem with it.
You loved Woodbury.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's like, this seems like it's really great. And I think it's going to take like a couple episodes to sort of unfold of, you know, what the problem is here, as opposed to something with Terminus where they walked in and like by the end of the episode, like, I think that there was like a, like the end of an episode and then the start by the, like, was it by the end of that episode that they were basically captured?
Well, there was the episode where Glenn and Maggie and all those people show up to Terminus and Tasha Yar's like, welcome to Terminus, have some food. Turns out the food was human meat.
Yes.
And then the next episode's when Rick and everybody rolls up and gets trapped in the
car. And then by the end of the episode, they're locked in the boxcar.
Yeah. Not great.
I don't think it's going to happen that fast.
Yeah, that was really bad. So you think it's more of a slow burn Woodbury style. What do you like better, Alexandria or Woodbury as a name? Woodbury.
All these names are pretty good. Alexandria, Terminus, Woodbury. I would say, I think, Alexandria sounds a little more regal. Woodbury sounds like a little more suburban.
Yeah. Yeah. Woodbury sounds like Long Island.
Yeah. Where are you from? I'm Woodbury. Exit 55.
Yeah. I don't think it's that far.
Yeah.
I think it's like exit like 40.
Yeah. I go to the Woodbury Music Fair all the time.
Is that true?
Yeah. Sure.
Are you serious?
I go to the Woodbury Music Fair all the time.
Yeah.
Only when they have like the big zombie fights. I go there to go see those shows.
The gladiator game?
Yeah, gladiator fights.
There's a great hot dog stand in Woodbury, or used to be.
Yeah.
I would get ketchup dogs there all the time. This isn't a joke. This is true.
Okay.
This is a real story. Woodbury, home of On Parade Diner. Great diner.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't think in The Walking Dead, though.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So that's an interesting thing to
On find. Parade Magazine?
On Parade Magazine. That's right.
I get that.
Yeah. All right. This is in from Lori Smith. First off, Lori Smith wrote into Rob and Ron. Who's Ron?
Ron.
Like Ron Weasley? Did she mean like Rob and Ron, like Rock and Rob? Did she get confused?
Yeah.
I'll go by Ron Wiggler. That's not bad.
Sure.
All right. So Rob and Ron. Hey, Rob and Ron. Love the show. My comment/question. I think the sounds of children coming from within the walls are on a tape/loop. Getting a bad feeling about this place. What are your thoughts? What do you think about that? Is the sound of children, is this inauthentic? Interesting that the episode cuts off without us going inside, you know, that we get like the blinding light of the gates opening up. What's inside? Are there truly children inside, or is it just like a bunch of cannibals just like playing? It's like Gareth's brother, like a Gareth clone.
I think that that's a little far-fetched to think that there it's a recording of children like on tape, that they either got some sort of like, you know, sound effects or like recorded kids and then played them on tape. I think that's a, like a little too far to go, I think.
That's too far.
I think so.
For The Walking Dead, that's too far.
Not that it's too far, like
magic is within the realm.
Yes, magic, of course. Maybe it's a magic tape.
You're a man of faith, not a man of science.
Yeah. I'm not thinking that they're, you know, they're pumping like kid noises outside.
Uh-huh.
Because that would keep me away. I'd be like, oh, there's a bunch of kids in there.
No.
Yeah.
The great opportunity if there's kids in there, though, to just like drop off Judith and go, right?
Yeah.
This would solve all of your problems with Judith.
Yeah, that would be good. What'd you think of this week? I thought it was like so silly that all of a sudden, you know, Rick is breaking up snails and that's what he's feeding. Like, we've never seen anybody feed Judith this way before. And
he's
now,
breaking up snails?
Yeah, he had like, as like he was, that's what he was going to feed the baby when the guy's like, I've got applesauce in my bag. You don't have to feed her snails.
Were they snails?
Yeah.
I didn't see snails.
Yeah, he had like a bunch of snails like in the bowl and he was like going to smash them up to feed to the baby.
I'm going to have to roll the tape.
Go back and watch that.
I don't feel like feeding snails to a baby is a good call.
Well, what were you going to feed, poison applesauce?
I guess. I mean, well, the guy ate the applesauce. It can't be poisoned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or unless he's like the Dread Pirate Robert.
I think
he's
so.
Built up an immunity.
I think that's what it is.
Iocane.
Yeah.
Can't trust it. You can't taste it. You can't smell it.
Yeah.
Never trust. Never mess with an Alexandrian when death is like.
Yes.
I think is the quote.
Yes.
They say in Alexandria. Here's a thought. This isn't something that's come up in the questions, but just something that came up to my head right now. So let's assume that it is kids inside of Alexandria. How do you think that's going to change The Walking Dead in terms of characters like Carl and Judith? How do you think the arrival of more kids to the mix is going to change some of the kids that we already know?
More kids. Well, is Carol going to teach them anything? Because I don't think that goes well.
She's going to go back to school.
School's back, kids.
School's and knife class is back.
Yeah. I would say, I mean, we'll see. I mean, we don't really have any kids. I mean, we've got Carl. But I mean, Carl.
Is he a man now? He's bar mitzvah age? Past bar mitzvah age.
Yeah, Carl. I mean, he's looking like, what is he, 14, 15 years old? Like, we don't have any kids.
15 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how old he's supposed to be on the show, but in real life, he's 15.
In real life, he's like 30.
He's like 45. He's
getting tall.
Yeah.
So I that's fine. You know, we had Lizzie and Mika. They were sort of like our resident kids for a while, and then we know how that ended.
McLovin.
Yeah.
How could you forget? For a hot minute we had McLovin.
Yeah.
it could be fun to have some more kids back in the mix. I actually think that the kids that they've introduced on the show have mostly been fun. I thought that the Lizzie and Mika stuff it produced still to this day might be the best episode of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Is The Grove. So I feel like some kids in the mix, that could be great.
Okay. Not too many kids.
There was Sophia. Let's not drag that out. That was pretty much the worst. All right. So here is something from Jordan Zielinski. Once again on the subject of Rick. Do you think the leader of Alexandria is prepared to handle the new political party in town? Because folks want them a Ricktatorship.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a handful on their hands with this like very dysfunctional group that's showing up.
Yeah. You think that a Ricktatorship is good for any established society, or do those rules really only apply for this kind of small cluster of people that he's got?
Yeah, you do not bring in Rick Grimes. If you have a stable sort of society, like do not bring in Rick and all these people.
So if the Alexandrians are good people, even if they're not, their best move would be to just like lock Rick out and let everybody else in.
No, their best move would have been to not invite any of these people.
They did make it really difficult.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure. I don't know if we want to go with you. How about we take the deadly, dangerous way to get there?
How about I punch you in the face?
Yeah, one
we're
shot.
We're not following any instructions.
I mean, you know, we talked about this once upon a time about Rick versus Tyrese versus the governor, about like what all of that looks like in terms of power rankings of who could beat up who. Rick just like shot up on the rankings pretty good. He just knocked that guy out in one punch.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
He's strong.
Strong man.
Yeah.
So yeah, you don't think that Alexandria is ready for a Ricktatorship?
No, I don't think that if they knew what was good for them, they would not have Rick involved at all.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
All right. This is in from Ash. Ash writes in, I think the episode at Noah's Old Community is a hint for what's coming next. My theory is the folks at Alexandria will be trustworthy and will show the group that there is reason to be open to outsiders, but then the wolves will come and destroy the sanctuary. What do you think of that theory?
I'd buy it. You know, I feel like that could definitely be a possibility when, you know, that the people at Alexandria really are nice, but then I'm not sure, like, did the wolves follow these people? Like, are the people from Alexandria actually the wolves? But, you know, I talked about the possibility of maybe the people from Alexandria are good, but they're in sort of like a war already with the people that are the wolves. Maybe that's how we end up getting into this battle. But,
yeah, and what if Alexandria, what if they are the wolves?
Yeah. What if they are the wolves? Or, yeah, that's all possibilities. So I do
what
think...
What if we are the wolves? What if Rick's group is the wolves? We are the wolves.
Yeah, we are the wolves. We're dancing with wolves.
Oh, no. That sounds like the apocalypse.
I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. I mean, that's definitely a possibility.
Okay. All right, so let's move on from there. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but my friend, who doesn't watch the show, actually, my friend Pete Ashworth, who's appeared on the Lost Lives podcasts from time to time here on Post Show Recaps, actually is from a town in Virginia called, wait for it, Alexandria. I reached out to Pete so that Pete could give me some information on the Alexandria that he lives in or is from originally. Because it's actually, I feel like maybe the Alexandria on the show might be based on the Alexandria that Pete hails from. He says that it's about 6 miles from DC. That seems to hold up with what we saw from Abraham driving along the way, and we see the Washington Monument in the distance.
Okay.
He says the population has grown exponentially the past 100 years with the expansion of the federal government. In terms of characteristics of the area, it's the definition of a suburb. The closest to an urban setting is found in the neighborhood called Old Town, which is, as the name suggests, it's old. They still have buildings dating back to the 1700s. One of the churches still has the pew where George Washington sat. During the Civil War, the entire city functioned essentially as a hospital. So there's lots of creepy ghost stories already associated with this place in the colonial era. So that's just a taste of what Pete offered up.
Ghosts?
Yeah, so there could be some Walking Dead ghosts. We already got some ghosts earlier in the season. You never know. Maybe that's where they came from. Maybe we're moving into a new chapter here.
One step away from magic.
Yeah. So we don't need to go all the way through this whole thing. But I thought he had some interesting things to say. We'll include that in the show notes for this. But I think it's a cool little bit of extra information into what this place we're about to walk into might look like. Pete also had some thoughts on what it might be like to survive against zombies in Alexandria. So it's pretty cool.
So there's a church there. Does that mean Father Gabriel could get back to his practice?
Back in business. Get some new hair shirts going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Get that frock back in action.
Right here. This is where George Washington had sat for mass.
Is that your Father Gabriel voice?
Yes.
Is that Lil?
No, it's not Lil.
Father Gabriel. Can I hear it again? I just need to hear like a few more lines.
This is where they had the church. And I can't do it.
This sounds like who's that like creepy guy who really likes Chris on Family Guy?
what is
you got lollipops, like lollipops. That's kind of your Father Gabriel.
That's high pitch.
Which is, you know, obviously alarming.
Yes. Yes.
His profession.
Hide the kids.
Hide the kids, hide your wife. All right, let's move on from there. So yeah, we'll post what Pete said. But yeah, church, that's interesting. That could be cool. Gabriel could be back in business. That could be good for his storyline.
Take me to the church, Father Gabriel.
Father Gabriel.
See what George Washington did.
All right, here's from Jack Newman. Jack Newman writes in, hey guys, I've been a YouTube fan for a while. This is my first time joining in the conversation.
Of the site, YouTube?
Yeah, he's from YouTube.
Okay.
He's a fan inside of the system that cools down the YouTube network. Yeah. He's achieved self-awareness. So we're all in big trouble. Skynet is happening.
Thank you, Jack.
Here's what Jack says. Jack says, my question is, do you think Morgan will show up by the end of the season finale via maybe being recruited like Rick and company, or do you think we'll see him in season 6 after some kind of time jump? It's been made sure that we know he is quite a while behind them, and a time jump is really all I can see that is logical. What do you think? Do we get Morgan by the end of the season now that Alexandria's in the mix, or is that a next season kind of thing?
Morgan, yes, 100%. 90-minute finale. I think that's when you're going to see Morgan.
Yeah, I feel like you can't have introduced Morgan in that like post-credit scene in the first episode of the season and then the post-credit scene again at the mid-season finale. I don't think that you can have Morgan there unless he shows up again in some way, shape, or form by the end of season five. Whether or not that's in quote-unquote present time or...
he has the map of going to Washington, D.C. World needs more Rick Grimes. So right. Alexandria's on the way.
Yeah. I feel pretty good about the idea that we will see Morgan again in some capacity. Yeah. Whether or not it's at Alexandria, whether he's on the road, whether it's like just one more post-credit scene at the very end of the season, there's just absolutely no way we don't see Lenny James as Morgan again by the time that the season is done.
And then he's in the main cast by season six.
Oh, another one.
Boom.
Another one. You know, that actually leads us to a question from Tamir Markowitz, who... asked me to refer to him as, he's my number one fan, apparently.
Oh.
That's what he said on Twitter. And he signed off as a Josh Wigler fanatic on here. So Tamir,
join the club.
Yeah, welcome. You have to get in line behind Rob. Tamir writes, with recent additions to the cast, such as Father Gabriel and Noah, how many cast members is the perfect amount? Which cast member should be in that set amount? And I think that this is a good question right now, because you just said, Morgan, series regular next year. How many series regulars can we get?
Anybody that's in the group is a series regular.
That's so many people. That's like 100 people.
Yeah, a lot.
How many people is that, actually? I think that if we counted them out, how many people are in the Walking Dead cast? I think it's...
Okay, well, we have Gradom, and they're all still alive.
They're still here.
Okay, there's Gradom, then there's Rick, there's Carl. Are we counting Judith?
Yes, as part of the traveling band, I think so.
Okay, but she's not really a cast member.
Nah, she's there.
Probably to pay her less. Okay.
Or less, definitely.
Oh, baby Judith is holding out. Okay. So then
I think it's 14, including Judith.
Okay. Great. Okay, so you have Gradom, you have Rick, you have Carl, that's 8. You have Carol, you have Daryl. Then that's 10. Then you have Sasha.
You have Sasha.
Who else we got?
Did you say Father Gabriel?
I know, Father Gabriel.
Can't forget Father Gabriel.
Father Gabriel. I got 12.
Did you put Carl in there?
Yeah.
You got, all right. So you've got Rick, Glenn, Carl, Daryl, Carol, Maggie, Michonne.
Oh, Michonne. Yeah.
How dare you. Sasha.
Yes.
Sarah.
Yes. She's in Gradom. Yeah.
Abraham.
He's the A in Gradom.
Eugene.
He's the E in Gradom.
Rosita.
She's the R in Gradom.
Gabriel's not the G in Gradom.
No. That's Glenn.
So there you go. And then plus Judith.
Yes. So 1, 2, 3, 14? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. You have 14 with Judith.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Noah.
Count Noah too. 15. Noah. Always screwing up the math.
Stupid Noah.
Everything he does is terrible. So we've got 15 with Noah. We're talking now maybe 16 with Morgan. Do we start adding someone like Aaron? Is he in the mix as well? That gets us to 17. What about Eric? 18. What about the countless people that could be inside of Alexandria, Rob? This already gigantic cast is about to blow up. And you know what? I think that might be the solution.
You want to blow up Alexandria?
I don't want to blow up Alexandria. I'm saying supersize the cast. That might be the answer. The answer to our problem that our cast is too big would be to make it bigger. If Alexandria is this gigantic place with lots and lots of people, it makes it so easy for someone like Tara, who doesn't maybe have like a series regular contract, to like go away for several episodes and then could just pop up and be like, oh yeah, I was just tending to the apple tree. I was just hanging out over there. Doesn't that give you an opportunity to kind of let some of the cast members just fade away a little bit?
Yeah, I guess so. Or you could just kill people off.
You could do that too. I feel like we've reached a point where it's like, who do you kill off of these people?
Yeah.
It's hard. Like, I mean, you know, who do you kill? How many of these people can be killed right now?
Well, there's a lot of people that are expendable. You could lose Noah and nobody would bat an eye.
Well, some of our listeners would not.
Yeah, you could lose Father Gabriel. Nobody would bat an eye. Sasha, at this point, it'd be like, let me see. Carol, you need her. Daryl, you know, Tara, you could lose her. Nobody would care. And Rosita also.
You would care.
I would care, but, you know, so that's easy, like 5-6 people you could just like lop off.
I know you don't want him to die, but could Eugene go?
Yeah, Eugene could die. I wouldn't be, you know, devastated.
You wouldn't be thrilled.
Yeah, I think he's an interesting character. I think I'd rather lose Abraham than Eugene.
Okay. Would you put him on the list? Is he expendable?
He's expendable.
Wow. All right. So this is the expendable list I have from you. It's Gabriel, Noah, Sasha, Tara, Rosita, Eugene, or Abraham.
Yeah.
Those people are expendable to you?
Yeah.
Would you rather those people die or just like go like into a neighborhood and like just like not be seen again for several episodes?
Die.
You've got so much bloodlust in you. I ask you again how many people you've killed?
I asked you the same question. Why do you need to know?
It's my follow-up. Can't answer my follow-up. All right. Okay. We can just leave it right there.
Yeah.
But I think that's an idea. I think that you could go the other direction. It's not something that I'd really thought of too much. Is what if the cast gets so big that you just have to ignore people? And it gives you the opportunity to have some other new characters in the mix too. So maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. All right. Let's talk about the license plates a little bit. I thought this was fun. We haven't gotten to talk about this. So Aaron's like a license plate collector. He's a license plate collector.
I'm a license plate collector.
Yeah.
I'm a plate collector.
I'm a plate collector. So Spicy Wasabi wants to know, what do you think is the hardest state license to get? And so let's talk about that in terms of where they are. So they're, you know, in the Washington, D.C. area. What's going to be the hardest license plate to get around D.C.?
Definitely Hawaii, and it's not close.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, maybe you could pick one up, but that's about it.
Alaska?
Alaska, I would probably be the second hardest to get, but at least that's connected by the continental United States. You could drive a car from Alaska to, you know, the greater 48.
Difficult.
Yes.
Challenging.
Yes.
Not as hard as driving from the mainland to Hawaii. Right? I have on good authority that's difficult.
Yes, that would be tricky. What would be the... Okay, so of the remaining 48, what would be the hardest to get?
What would be the hardest to get from where they are right now? I don't know. Probably like Washington, like actual Washington, not D.C. Washington.
See, I would say like Idaho, Montana. I think you want something that's sort of like far away, but also with like a lower population. Like I feel like there could be like some Seattle people that like drove out.
Yeah, you can't trust those Seattle people.
They travel well.
They travel well. Yeah, Idaho is far.
You want a small population and also a remote distance from where they are.
Wyoming might be tough.
Wyoming,
no,
yeah.
There's no one in Wyoming.
Yeah.
There's actually no people there.
Yeah, just Dick Cheney.
Yeah, that's it. That's what Garfield says. I take that as fact, that Wyoming has no population. Mm-hmm. So that might be difficult. So yeah, I'd put Idaho, Wyoming, I think, would be in the mix there.
Somewhere in that area.
Somewhere in that area would be tough.
Okay.
The Dakotas?
Mm.
I'd like to see some Dakota action on The Walking Dead, don't you know?
You mean like the chick from 50 Shades of Grey?
No, well, that would be something.
I thought you've already seen that kind of Dakota action.
I was a big fan. I would like to see it again.
Whoa.
As everyone knows, I love 50 Shades of Grey.
Look at you.
True story.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. No, I was thinking of like some Margie from Fargo.
Yes.
That'd be good. I don't think we'll see that. And then Chris Berger on the subject of the license plates, it says it's vanity plates time, bumper stumpers time. Tell me which license plate, the left or the right, belongs to the leader of the group. Are you ready? I'll spell them out for you, Rob.
Okay.
One is funny. One is CRRRRL.
Yes.
And the other is CBN2SH. Which one belongs to Rick?
Okay. Obviously the first one is Carl. Also, the second one, which I believe is spelled out cabin douche, it's a little bit of a reach. I think that's a stretch. I think that that would be turned down for bumper stumpers.
I would give that thumbs up every day of the week. CBN2SH, cabin douche, is cracking me up right now.
Yeah.
What about who? What? Give me some vanity plates for some of these other guys.
Off the top of my head?
Yeah, how about this? I'll give you a name of a person. and you can give me you can give me the license plate. I'll give you one that I feel like is a softball. Let's start with Tara.
Tara's license plate? Well,
this is a gimme. Come on. Yeah. Come and grab it. Low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, it's got to be Gratum, but her vanity plate is GR8M.
Yeah, that's really hip. Yeah. That's pretty good. What about Father Gabriel? Does he have like any cool like Gacy Superstar like bumper stickers on the back? What's he got?
His license plate is H-A-I-R. S-H-R-T.
Air shirt. What about Eugene? Your man, Eugene.
Eugene? Let's see. I think that he would be... try to keep it to what? 8 letters, right?
Yeah, if you can.
Yeah.
Like M-U-7-7-E-T or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
It's like leet speak. That's what this guy likes.
I think that would be good for Eugene.
Let's close out. Let's get the governor because you love the governor. What would the governor's vanity plate look like?
I think it would be P-A-Y-D-A-B-I-L-L.
Payday bill?
Pay the bill, Tyrese.
Pay the bill.
Pay the bill.
Oh, that's pretty good.
You owe me.
You owe me. Yeah. That's like if he was like a, I don't know, if he was like a...
Got to
like
pay the bill.
The troll toll? That sounded like you were about to sing the troll toll song.
Troll toll.
The toll troll song.
Yeah.
Toll troll. What you say? Yeah, pay the bill. Okay, I like that. I like...
Pay me.
I like Gratum. I think that's funny. Cabin Touche is pretty hard to top. Well done, Chris Berger. You've cracked me up sufficiently.
You did it. Okay.
We've got one more. It was Oscar night the other night. And this is in from Vaz. Vaz writes in, who in this group would have gotten excited for the Oscars before the zombie apocalypse?
Oh, if you were having an Oscar party pre-apocalypse, you gotta have, let's see. I would think out of this group,
it feels like Eugene, right? This feels like Eugene territory.
Yeah, I don't know how much he would be into the Oscars.
He'd actually probably be like really anti Oscars because he'd be like this whole Birdman fiasco, not acknowledging the superhero film is the true art form at the moment. He'd be really upset about that.
Yeah, I think Michonne. Would be pretty good. I mean,
she seemed really chill back in the day.
Yeah, from like the flashback, seemed like that she was really like kind of into like drinking wine and like talking about the Oscars. I could definitely see that.
I feel like Tyrese would have been good because he like pays attention. That's what he was saying. Like he listens to the radio. He likes to know what's going on in the world. I feel like he'd really have his fingers on the pulse of what was going on with like all the Oscar pundits.
Sure, sure.
Birdman's really gaining momentum. Boyhood was out in front and suddenly.
And maybe Noah.
That could be Noah's thing, yeah.
Yes, I think so.
There seemed to be like some like sci-fi memorabilia in his house. He seems like a movie geek.
Movie guy. All right.
That would be one way for me and Noah to hang out. I'd be into that.
Yeah.
All right, Rob, that's it. That's all we got.
All right. Well, great job once again, everybody, with the questions. Get your Walking Dead questions into us for the Walking Dead Feedback Show. That's TWD. At postshowrecaps.com, or you can post them on the comments here on postshowrecaps.com on the Sunday episode. Also, we haven't done a lot of voicemails this season, but if you want to get a voicemail in, postshowrecaps.com/voicemail.
That's right. Do it.
All right. So Josh, once again, you're going to be on assignment this Sunday, and I'll be flying solo without you, but the tabulator, Kurt Clark, is going to be joining us in your stead.
That's right. And I believe Kurt Clark's actually read some of the Walking Dead comics. Not a ton, but he's read a decent amount. So he's a big fan of the show. You're in good hands with the tabulator. And if I can, I will be around for the feedback show next week, but no promises.
Okay, sounds good. Josh, anything else coming up this week for you on Post Show Recaps?
No. Well, actually, Antonio Mazzaro and I, we just recorded our latest Justified podcast. If you guys have not been following along, you should do that. PostShowRecaps.com/Justified iTunes is a good way to subscribe. The episode we recorded today was ridiculous. There was a lot of Aladdin going on.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And we, I don't know. We lost control, Rob. I'm so sorry.
It's fine. Also, House of Cards kicks up this weekend, and Zach Brooks and I are going to be recapping and reviewing the premiere of season 3 of House of Cards coming this weekend on Post Show Recaps. I think we're looking at probably a Saturday launch time on that, but I need to reach out to Zach and nail down a time. So we're going to do that live, and then we're going to have audio recaps of all the episodes of season 3 of House of Cards also coming to Post Show Recaps. So make sure you subscribe to our Post Show Recaps main feed to make sure you get all of that stuff. PostShowRecaps.com/iTunes. Or you can just get the Rob Has a Podcast app, which has all of Post Show Recaps on it as well.
I'm really excited because I wasn't watching House of Cards when you and Zach were podcasting about it last year, but I have since caught up. I wish I could be around for one of these shows. It'd be a real threesome.
Yes, it really would be. It's ridiculous. It's fantastic.
Fantastic show.
All right. Hashtag for which were the license plates do you want to do?
I want to thank you so much for this, Chris Berger. Let's go with Cabin Touche, which is CBN2SH.
Okay.
Let's go hashtag Cabin Touche.
All right. Everybody, have a good week. We'll be back with more Walking Dead on Sunday night. Take care. Bye.